Hello, everybody. This is Matthew Monfort with Jesus is King Mission, and we have the privilege of being joined today by the international human rights attorney, Virginia Pradhan. And she escaped communist Romania in the late 80s and came to America, and she came face to face with her persecutor, her assassin, in 2010, I believe it was. And she has a book that's come out, and it's a fabulous read. I read it. I left her a review. And for those of you that think that you have it difficult, that times are trying and insurmountable, Christ is enough. And that's what I got out of this book through Virginia and all the Romanian Christians that she speaks of and tells their story. So thank you for joining us today, Virginia.
Oh, it's my pleasure and my honor to be here. And before we start here, before I start to say anything, I want to make sure that your audience know that is a very powerful story. You can read the entire book. It's called Saving My Assassin. And you can find it at virginiaprodhanbooks.com/product/book. And when you read it, you will understand what I am sharing now with you. I am not the hero. God is the hero in my life. He has done it everything. And the reason we want to share this powerful story is because God has a message for you. He wants to write his amazing story in your life. And he has done it in mine, and I hope you will recognize step by step as we talk about my life under communists and here in America. And you will agree to let God be the hero of your life and write his story in your life.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, since we're going to try to make this as action-packed as we can, let's cut to it. So This book that you have written covers multitude of themes. I mean, it covers your conversion to Christianity, life under tyranny, the impact of the United States in other countries around the world, also growing up and being neglected by your own family. And so let's pick up with your childhood. I remember reading in your book, you talking about being made fun of for your looks, etc. Can you explain a little bit about your childhood?
Well, many times if you read, reviews from people, everywhere, you will find out that they will say, oh, your childhood was worse than Cinderella. And it's true. Yeah. But when you read it, please don't feel sorry for myself. God was not asleep. God allowed all those things to happen because he had in mind who I needed to be, strong and courageous as an attorney. Yes, I was different. I had red hair and white skin and freckles, and everybody in that family that was called my family had a kind of brownish skin, dark hair. They were much taller than me. I was a petite size, and I still am. And everybody, I was like, are you sure you belong to this family? I was not treated correctly. I didn't receive any love, anything. But as you read the story, I want you to look back at your own story and see what you think that it is, what it was so horrible in your life, and watch and see if you give it to the Lord, what the Lord can do it. He has a wonderful way of taking our mess and making a mission. So make sure that you understand that and you can see God's hands. Many times it's easier for us to look back and see God's hands than when we are in the middle of the situation and we don't know what to do. So, it was a horrible, but out of that, it came just a wonderful way. First of all, I didn't know my parents, who my real parents were. I didn't know my father. Maybe I had seen him once, and I talked with him several times over the phone. But God put on my heart the desire to find him, my real father, who will never forsake me and who had a wonderful, wonderful plan in my life. So if you had abusive parents, or you never had the opportunity to know your mother or your father, make sure you understand that God still has a plan, a wonderful plan for your life.
Absolutely. He redeems. He is the God of redemption.
Yes.
Yes. And I would say the Cinderella comparison is exactly what I was thinking when I was like, this is Cinderella. So thank you for that.
Somebody said that was Cinderella and God was the prince.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So now you had a relative that was an attorney, and you figure like this is your way out to understand the law and justice and to be successful. And I would say that in Ceausescu's regime, the attorneys, they were like the vice lords of the regions, if you will. They had a lot of power, a lot of authority. And so you become an attorney. And she goes through, her studying. She's studying out in the cold just so she can have privacy, things like that. And then she's encountered by a Christian. And I can't remember if it was a client of yours or if it was somebody that was referred to you, but then invites you to church. And you say something to the effect that I'd been searching for truth my whole life. And go ahead and explain that.
This client was different. God brought him into my office for a very good reason. This is a reason why I'm saying, if you read the book, you will find God's hands and how he opened door, brought people into my life, and he's going to do the same in your life. But God brought this client in my life who never said a word about the gospel. But he had peace, he had joy, he had confidence in a land full of lack of confidence, lack of joy, full of fear. And I remember seeing him and many times thinking, this man is crazy, I have to fix him. But I never had the time because I had always clients. But one day I was so disappointed that when he showed up in my office and he expressed again that peace and joy and confidence, I said to him, I wish I had in my life what you had in your life. And he invited me to church. And that was, sure enough, the point where I heard the gospel and I accepted Christ. That was God's way. To bring him to him. And if you pay attention to your life, God will find ways to bring you to him and to understand and experience his amazing love.
Absolutely. And so she says, she has a quote in there where she says something to the effect, she said, I'd searched for truth and law and the government and all these things. And I finally found, because you go to church and they say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he preached the gospel. And God imparted unto you eternal life. You believed. And the lights went on. And the rest is history from there. I wanted to touch on, too, it's a bit different today, I think, than how a lot of churches handle Christianity. One, you're being persecuted in Romania, so it's going to cost you. And so you mentioned that you had to go through a study period after embracing Christ, that the church leaders brought you into some kind of a church study. Can you explain what the process was and the initiation into, being a committed Christian?
I'm very grateful for my church in Romania. And again, it was God's way to prepare me for what was coming on my path. First of all, when I accepted Christ, I had no idea. I didn't know anything about Christ. I never had in my hands a Bible. So the church trained me, I believe, 6 months or more, and who I was in Christ and who Christ is and everything. And that gave me a solid foundation later on, when persecution came and I was tortured, I was arrested, I was put under house arrest, that was absolutely fundamental to me from theology, what I knew to practice the faith. And that is what is important, because you can see right now in America there is a discrepancy. Lots of Christians, they know the theology, but there is a discrepancy between knowing that theology and living out your faith. And you have to live out your faith to see how God works, to hear his voice, to see his protection, and that way you start to grow in your faith. So that was fundamental, and I have no way to take credit for that. I know that the good Lord put on my pastor's heart and on my heart to accept, to be trained, and that was absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned in there talking about all the questions you had, you know, how do you know that you're in God's will, or how do you know that God's answering your prayers, et cetera. And I so appreciated that, the training that they took to disciple you. So continuing.
Let me tell you something, because I want to always make the connection with what we see here. My kids grew up here in America. The girls were 9 and 10 years old. My son was born here. From the younger age, I applied the same principle that my church in Romania for 6 months trained me. I trained them who they are in Christ, what they need to know about themselves, to understand how much they need Christ and how powerful God is. I trained them to learn Bible verses and to make sure that when the evil one comes to them or the culture comes to them with you are nothing, you are not enough and everything, to combat that with the word of God. I'm more than conqueror. I am beautifully made in God's image and everything. So that was very important. So what I am saying to Christians today, there is no way that you can protect yourself when the culture comes to you and try to isolate you, to mock you, even to threaten you. The only way to do it is to open the Bible, to read Psalm, to read whatever part of the Bible relates to you, and to memorize them. And when the evil one comes, to say it back to him. So, and that way you will grow.
Amen. So the word of God is your weapon. And
yes.
I think this is a perfect opportunity to segue. And just people, this book is so jam-packed and with so many themes, you have to just please read it. It was such an encouragement to my heart, to my soul. In the book, they have, she represents Christians that were arrested for delivering Bibles. And she writes in the book what happened. It says, quote, "These defendants are accused of carrying weapons with the intent to do harm and to defy the Romanian government," he began. "In Romania, if you carry a weapon, you need a permit." And I think this may have been the prosecutor, the opposing prosecutor. "The Bible, Your Honor, is a weapon, and as such, you have to have a permit to carry it." And then you mentioned Martin and Levu, which I don't know if those are the real names, but the names in the book. "They did not have a permit, and they carried many Bibles." And the word of God is a weapon, and that is the weapon that the tyranny, the tyrants, the communists, they all fear one weapon. They don't fear much else but the word of God.
And, well, they have a reason to be fearful of that, because if you know the word of God, if you know who you are and who your God is, there is no way that the culture will have any success over you to submit you to betray God and follow them. No way. So for that reason, they know that Christians, strong Christians, having a Bible and using God's word, they have the weapon that changed their lives, and the sword of God. And For that reason, they know that Christians will be loyal to God and not to them, to socialists.
Amen. Amen. So you talk in this book, you talk about the fear that you had, and I pulled out a quote here. And I believe you're praying at this time. I went on to share each of my fears in detail. What if I or my children are killed? What if I am imprisoned and I never see my daughters again for the rest of my life? What if someone else I care about is punished because of what I'm doing? I poured my heart out to God. And as I did, I began to feel that he was listening, that he was taking each of my cares in his loving hands and offering me comfort. After a long time, I looked down at the file I was clasping and realized that it was wet. I'd been weeping and praying for so long that the file was soaked with my tears. But at the same time, I realized the crippling fear had faded. God had taken away the agonizing battle between my heart and mind and replaced it with the victory spirit. So I just want to mention, if you would, can you give us maybe some examples or maybe just generalizations of what the persecution, what it was like being a Christian in communist Romania?
I love the fact that you read that passage a lot of time. People say to me that passage because I wanted to show to people that I am a real person, that I have fear like everyone else. The only thing is when you obey God and you talk with him, and you go to him, you know that he's going to protect you. He's not going to judge that you have fear. It's normal to have fear, but he will give you, him your fear, and will give you the peace, his peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's the only way that I was able and capable to fight against a cruel dictator and his regime. And that's the only way that people will be able to do it if socialists or communists comes here. Communist is what I call in my book, and it's true, it's a land of lies and a prison land. It's a land of lies because the government will take control of the entire media and will lie to you and will say in the beginning will lie. And if we keep silent, they will continue to lie. After they take power, they will force you to repeat their lies. That's what communist comes. A prison land because they started to submit to you. You keep a job if you will repeat our lies, if you do what we ask you to do. People have to understand that socialist is a real religion. It's a religion that puts the government replacing God. It's a religion that the entire purpose, and also not only religion, but the system, that its entire purpose is to submit you and to take you away from God and to destroy you. Because your path with the socialists, it's a path to destruction. That's what it is. People will be that did not agree with the government will be arrested, tortured, put under will disappear. Their kids or relatives will also disappear. You will read in the story, in the book, a lot of stories of people that have done very little to be against the dictator and his regime compared with what I did to take the dictator and his regime to court, and they disappear and I am alive. Why? Because of the grace of God. Nothing. I have no magic power. I have no credit in everything. God saved me, not only for me, but for a time like this in America, to look straight into your face and said, no matter how horrible the circumstances will come around you, the best place to be is under God's wings. You might think that this government or its ideology will remain here forever. No, do not believe that the God, the Bible tells us that God is sovereign, and you can find out in my own story. The dictator had power and money and knew how to manipulate the entire world until I exposed him, and he is dead for 35 years. And I'm alive sharing the God story in my life in America and around the world. The bottom line is God is sovereign, and every government has a time that God gives them the time, a limited time for a good reason. I know and I understand when you are under persecution, it's hard to understand why God will allow a dictator or a government to be so powerful. But if we look at America, let's be honest and recognize that for so many years, we have been turning our back to God. We want to do whatever we want, to do abortion, to kill unborn kids, to define marriage, to be one day a man and one day a woman, and the list goes on. And we still believe that we're going to fight against God. We're going to say, you know, God, you are not the most powerful God. We are in charge, and we defined what you, from the beginning, established, family, you know, life, and so on. And we still believe for so many years that no matter what, just because we are Americans, God will bless us. You are lying to yourself. That's all. And if we suffer persecution, is because God has an amazing plan. He is a loving God, and he wants, under the persecution and wounded by the government, that for sure we will turn to God and we will repent. But there is a possibility that we can do it now without waiting for all those wounds and for all those suffering and horrible circumstances that a government can do to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're getting close to the end here. So I had a couple things I wanted to wrap up. And also, when she talks about replacing God, I mean, they wanted Ceausescu was God. You know, they called him God. They replaced Ceausescu with Santa Claus with Ceausescu. It was absolutely just crazy that what they were living in, and it becomes the normal water when you're grown up in it and you've swam in it your whole life. It's just normal. But God was drawing Virginia to himself. And so I wanted to, there's two things I wanted to address. One is I want to make sure that we make the gospel clear. And so you as an attorney, you have a very good understanding of the legal consequences of the gospel. And in fact, when you came face to face with your assassin, you told them basically, hey, there's a judgment day and there's a lake of fire and you need to be born again. So could you explain to the audience?
Let me just give a little bit before that what happened.
Yep.
I defended Christians, and unknown to me, lots of my cases became part of United Nations reports on human rights violation. Lots of my cases became part of United States Department of State's human rights violations in Romania, and the dictator was exposed, and President Ronald Reagan wanted to take the most favored national status from him because, in fact, what he was doing, he was taking the most favored national status, who offer lots of economical benefits for Romania, but he used all the money to build himself a palace, to live a luxurious life, and to keep us under starvation.
He was using the Bible verses as toilet paper.
Yes, exactly. And when I exposed him to the entire world, he decided to what he called or what he considered that he established a perfect plan to kill me. Yeah. But God had another plan. So one day he decided to send a new client to my office. And because they have microphones everywhere in my office and in my home, they knew about my whereabouts. So my new client, the assassin, came very shortly, just before my assistant was ready to leave to pick up her kids. So she had only time to introduce him to my in my office, and she left for the day. When he heard that she was closing the door to the office, he pulled his jacket, took his gun, and pointed to my face and said, "I'm not your client. I'm here to kill you." And he was screaming. He was so joyful. To me, look beyond imagination. I was under 5 feet tall, 82 pounds. And he was 6'10" feet tall, like a football player, with a gun at my face. There was no way to run. I thought that I'm going to die. And it was so much noise from him and also noise from me, because I felt like I heard my heart in my ear. My knee was shaken. My face was red. I thought that I'm going to die. And still in all that, I heard the whisper of God, shared the gospel with him. And because we didn't have Bibles in Romania, or when we had it, we had for a very short time, we memorized the gospel. So it was very easy for me to share the gospel. And I do remember saying to him, "I know you are here for a job," because he said to me that by killing me, he's going to be number one in president dictator's rank. So I said, "There is no way I can stop you, but I know you have a job to do it. But I have one. I would love to share something with you," because I was thinking, before I die, that's my last chance to share the gospel. And to my surprise, he said yes. So I started to share the gospel, and he put the gun down. He noted several times, his shoulders relaxed, and to make the story short, he accepted Christ. I remember sitting there after he left my law office in Romania, thinking, he's my brother in Christ, and I'm alive. I couldn't believe that I was alive. But God has a way. He loves everyone. He loves people that accepted Christ, that walk with him. And he loves people like my assassin. God helped me to understand that we don't have enemies. The enemies are God's enemies. And because we are his children, the enemies will attack us. But our role is to be obedient to Christ and to share the gospel with those people that he created, like my assassin, who was nothing else but slaves in the evil stand. And by sharing the gospel, Christ brought him to him and to the cross. What an amazing God we have to invite us to do such an amazing, amazing job, and also to see that everything is done in his power, and to see the transformational power of the word of God, how a horrible, determined assassin can be transformed by the word of God into a brother in Christ. I mean, there is no other way than to be obedient to God. And it's a blessing and an honor that he is giving us.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned in the book that he says something to the effect, "You're right, these people are crazy."
It was very, very visible to him. But let me tell you something. Shortly after that, maybe 6 months or a year, President Ronald Reagan called our dictator and made a deal with him to let me and my family to come to America with a condition that if he let us to leave. President Ronald Reagan said today, dictator said 1 month, he said, I will give you the most favored nation status for one more year. Years later, like you said, in 2010, I had the privilege and the honor, even though I did not recognize him in the beginning, to re meet or see my assassin again, but this time in Dallas, Texas, in my law office, because after I came to America, I went to law school at SMU. I graduated and I opened my law firm, and I do now what I have done in Romania. And I work also individual, and I also work as a lie attorney with the Lies Defended Freedom. So one day when he came with a very good case, I didn't recognize him. I mean, after 20 years, you don't recognize people until he showed me his Securitate ID. And I realized that I was face to face again with my assassin, and I believed that I was shaking again, and my face was red. And so he started to tell me I'm a pastor now, and he started to say what he's doing and so forth. And I shared that I'm writing my book, and he asked me to let him write a chapter in my book. And today you can read his chapter in my book, Saving My Assassin. Again, you can find it at virginiaprodanbooks.com/product/book. And it's amazing to see how God can transform someone from an enemy, your enemy or God's enemy, into a brother in Christ. And I don't invite you to go and put yourself into a harmful situation, but I want you to reconsider how you relate to those who might be mocking you or threatening you. Pray for them and remember that they are only slaves in the enemy's tent, and in God's power and with Christ. You can share the gospel, and Christ can bring them to the cross, and they can become your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Absolutely. And she actually covered a bit of what I was going to close with. And so I so appreciate you joining us today, Virginia. The last thing I was going to touch on after the gospel was that the impact that America has had on the world. And you mentioned Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
You mentioned some of the congressmen that came over there, Frank Wolf,
Christopher Smith, yes, and the Secretary of State, and a lot of people. Not only that, I met so many people. Even now, there are so many people telling me, I was in Romania, I was drinking, you know, without government knowing, Bible study, I was risking on everything. And I admire and I'm very grateful for the American people. But I want to say to American people this, be patient with yourself. There is a big difference to go into country where people of that country will be persecuted. But when you go there because you are American, you will never be persecuted. And it's different to be here in America and your own government to start it to persecute you. So be patient with yourself. Let God help you. And if you need any help, go to our website, virginiaprodanbooks.com, and there are so many places there to contact us and so forth. So we will be more than happy to help you. But be patient with yourself and understand that God is in control. All he needs is your obedience. He will equip you. He will open possibilities for you. He will do amazing things in your life. You know, Psalm 94:16 says, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? God is calling you and me. He can change. He changed Romania through me from a communist country to a democratic country. He can change America, wherever he placed us, through you and me. That's what God wants to do, to manifest his amazing power, love, and care so the whole world will know. Don't wait for others. We are here because God placed us so he can work in us and we can be an exposure of everything that he is able. And if you think, oh my God, I don't know what to do, let me tell you, Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you. in the way you should go, I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. Do you know what God is saying? I'll provide everything. I just want you to be a tool in my hands. That's all I am, a tool in God's hands. You can be too.
Amen. Amen. And in closing, once again, how do they find your book?
They can go to virginiaprodanbooks.com/product/book. I love to sign the book. I signed the book with Freedom is Precious. And indeed, freedom is precious. Why? One, because Christ died for our freedom and he wants us to live free, not in fear of the government, but fear him and revenge him. God also allowed me to live in a country where I did not have freedom. And for that reason, I'm here to tell you, we need to stand up for the freedom that God gave us in America and even restore God, let God help us, work through us to restore the freedom in America. But our silence, if we are silent, we are accomplice. We are the one walking on the path to destructions. So join us. Be on the path of God. They will send you and me to victory and under Christ. Christ never lost a battle. He is the general of the generals. That's the best place to be.
Amen. Amen. And I did want to slip this in here at the end. There's a hymn that you mentioned, maybe a couple hymns or songs in Romanian. And one of them talks about kissing the hands that persecute you. Do you remember the words in Romanian?
Tucă tu și la atunci le sărută, rugător pentru cei ce l-au pus. The meaning is, we know the Bible verse, pray for your enemies. It says, when they put your handcuffs, remember and pray for those who persecuted you, because God is giving you an opportunity day by day under persecution to look like him, and he will do amazing things in you and through you.
Amen.
Remember that people thought that Christ was a loser on the cross, and God decided to make him the number one in the kingdom. And one day he's going to return, and one day he's going to ask you and me, what have you done with what I gave you?
Amen. Home run. All right, everybody. This has been Matthew Monfort with Jesus is King Mission, and we were joined today by Virginia Pradhan. And get her book. Read it. Be encouraged. Strengthen your faith in the Lord. There's nothing that you can go through or will go through that God can handle. So thank you once again, Virginia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And don't forget, if you have any questions, go to virginiaprodanbooks.com/product/book for the book, or you find there ways to contact us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And we'll catch everybody next time.
Thank you.